Good morning, everybody. This is Deborah Fay from Disruptive Publishing, and I am joined today by Rebecca Sawyers, one of my authors. Rebecca and I met each other at a networking event a couple of years ago, and Rebecca attended a workshop that I co-facilitated called Get Known, Be Seen, where we talked about how to write a book and leverage it. And Rebecca made it very clear to me right from the beginning that she was keen to write a book. And after that workshop, she joined me in my writer book club, and within the year had written and published her first book. So I'm very, very excited to have Rebecca as my inaugural cover of the Disruptive Author magazine. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you, Deb, for having me. And it's to think that it took a year and almost a lifetime to think about the book, the beginning when it first started to, yeah, just in a year getting through it. So it was fantastic. It was such a journey. And thank you, Deb, for helping me do that.
My pleasure. It's a massive book too. So it's not a lightweight book. It really was a meaty book that really took some work in getting it where you wanted it to be. So I really applaud you for that. But it amazes me when I think about, it's only a couple of years since we did meet, and here we are the other side of it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And it's done. Yeah. So big year, but yes, that's that. So I want to get started with this and ask you, for the listeners, or the watchers, whichever we're referring to. What is your book about?
So my book is about my life growing up as a victim around child sexual abuse and domestic abuse. So it really does reveal the life of growing up around that and being in a house that was where there was no safety, there was no love, there was no nurturing, there was no encouragement. So it does reveal what happens when that is all, when it's not present. So for a child.
All right. So maybe now those people that have been listening understand why I say it was a really meaty book.
Yes.
You know, the content was heavy going at times and
yes.
In places. And I do recall the editor saying that she had to remind herself at times that this was not a work of fiction. This actually happened.
Yeah.
You might recall that comment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I sometimes have to remind myself just, yeah, that's, I guess, where I'm at today. It's such a total reframe. It's such a totally different place where I'm at. And it's like, wow, I have to remind myself that, yeah, that's where I had come from.
Yeah, so far from there now, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So when was it that you first became published?
In March 2019. Yeah.
Okay. So we started, right, and then we had your book,
yes,
launch in April.
Yes.
Yep.
That's,
and that was to coincide with.
It was to coincide with, I had started the charity. So as I was writing the book, I was starting the charity and all at the same time. So it was definitely a lot. So I can't remember. Was there anything else we had coincided?
I think we were thinking of domestic violence awareness. In May,
yes.
And I think the sexual violence awareness April,
yes,
something along those lines. So yeah. I think we had it somewhere in the middle.
Yes,
because
there were events in May that we had to go and do as well that were around DV, and then later in September was Child Protection Week.
So. And all very appropriate to, you know, what you're addressing in the book and what you're hoping to achieve, which we're going to go into now.
Yes.
But just firstly, I just want to ask you, how long had you been thinking about becoming an author?
Well, I guess it was, growing up as a little girl, my escape would be through books. So I would read a lot of, Stephen King and, just a lot of horror
Oh,
books. So it kind of coincided with, it was kind of relatable for me that it was like a scary book and that I was in a scary life, and it was just those familiar emotions for me. So reading a lot and just going, wow, just being fascinated that such the storyline and how you can draw someone into a story through in between the pages. And so the idea was there that but I would be too afraid, and the guilt and the shame from what I was experiencing, I just thought, oh my gosh, how, I would be too afraid to tell people. And
okay.
then in my 20s, I had read a book about a woman who had bravely written her story about being abused by her father and his friend, and friends. So it was just, I was just, I felt like, wow, she's really brave. That's possibly something I can do. And then it was until I met you in, 28, was it 2017, 2018, that I thought, you know what, I was more intuitive then, and I felt, you know what, now I feel like this is the time, this is the place. I couldn't write it back then. The ideas were back then, but I wasn't in that place of being healed. I was still in my addiction. I was still dealing with addictions and struggling in life. So I wasn't at that place of peace and healing where when I met you, I was ready. It was that time. So it was meant to be.
Divine timing is everything, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been written the way it was with the happy ending, I guess I could say.
I was going to ask you, was it part of like fulfillment of a dream or part of a bigger picture? And I guess you're going to tell me that it's probably a bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when I think of the little girl that was back then suffering, and the idea of just people knowing what had happened, because that was a bit of a something that I never experienced. And for most survivors, it's that not being believed or not being able to tell your story. There's that shame and guilt associated with it. So it was definitely a fulfillment of a dream, and at the same time, it was a part of a bigger picture, which, as you know, as I've said before, it's still being written today, and it's still going to be written tomorrow, of what that looks like. So it definitely coincided with the story behind why I started Meant to Rise, the charity, because it was to let others know that this is what we're about, this is where we're coming from, and also that we understand, and other survivors, to encourage them to come out and speak out, to tell your story, to write a book, to be able to know that they're, we can grow and heal, and to let go of all that shame that isn't ours to begin with. So that's the massive, massive way to healing, is to acknowledging and knowing that we have the power to be able to use our voice and to speak and to tell our story, be honest and truthful, because there is no shame and there is no guilt behind that, and we are survivors.
Beautiful. So, which sort of leads me into like I do want to know more about that, what you're doing today, and what your work is all about.
Yeah, so today I currently work with survivors of many ages, from children to adults, and men and women of different backgrounds, and we support them to heal, to know what it is that they where they want to go in life, and to, I guess, that phase of releasing and healing and forgiving self, and working towards just mending their hearts and feeling empowered, knowing their choices, and just supporting them through that journey and whatever that looks like. So
Oh, it sounds beautiful. Would you actually say that is your life's work?
Yes, 110%, if that was possible. Yay. Yes, absolutely. It was why I survived, and I'm very grateful. It's not an easy job. Not a lot of people can be at that front line, but it is so amazing to be able to celebrate the wins with a survivor, big and small. And when I can see them just embrace and embody that empowerment, it's the most amazing feeling, I guess, to know that that's why I survived. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Makes me feel alive.
I think that's, you know, what someone said, don't go and get a job. Find something that makes you come alive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is it for you. Yeah.
It is. And not to say that there aren't any challenging moments, there are, and that's the reality of it. And that's that they're very raw, they're very real, but it's at the end of the day, to know that I guess to be on point with your purpose, in alignment with your purpose, and to doing what makes you happy inside and fills your spirit is something that can't be, you can't get that from anything else other than doing what you love.
You just mentioned the word alignment, and I just, the peace that I have when I think, alignment.
Yeah.
You know, and being in integrity in that way is it's a powerful thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So how do you hope to move forward now? What do you ultimately want to achieve through your work, further down the track?
Yes. Well, I would definitely to work with more clients, to see more healed, to see the generational impacts, to be for the generational cycles to stop. Did you know that trauma, this sort of trauma can impact generate up to 6 generations. So to start working with the ones, survivors today can impact those of tomorrow and further. And that's huge, because when we think of the effects of child sexual abuse and really just trauma and any sort of trauma, is that there are negative impacts, and such as addictions and suicide, and that's the reality of it. So when we can support people, absolutely, it's that programming within your within our genes and our neurobiology. So it's going, when we can go ahead and change that and heal, which is possible, and to be able to rewire the brain is amazing, and it's so simple as well. It doesn't have to be complicated. So to be able to go out and inform others, whether it's the general public, whether it's organizations, on how to prevent re-traumatization, and also how to trauma-informed care, to deliver that sort of training would be fantastic. So, just to see generations impacted and to be free and to be happy, so that they can find, just go back to the beginning of who they are.
Yep. I love that, what you say, but it is possible. It is so possible, with the right guidance. It's not something possibly that people can do on their own. But just to be willing to start with and to seek out the right person and what you're creating, the space you're creating, it gives me hope, I feel, because as a community, we're only as strong as our weakest link, aren't we?
Yeah.
So, those people that are struggling and suffering, if we can raise them up, we raise everybody up. That's
absolutely
the thing.
Yep, we do. We have to work as a community. We have to work as a nation. We have to work as a world together that's united for we think of those who are suffering, the innocents, the children, and to see them be who that they're, were born to be, and to enjoy the simple things in life, and not to fear, to fear going out, to fear and to not trust and to not know how to play and to not know how to explore and live and have fun.
How to meet their own needs.
How to have people who are patient. Just knowing how to role model. They just need that role model who's going to be able to stop and listen as well, and empower
them. And I think people that can see their innate worth not how they present, maybe, but what their innate worth is.
That's right. When we can look past the behavior and we can see their true self, the child as they are, that is where the healing, and that's where we can start working with them. But when we just focus on the behavior, that's where we get caught up, and that's where we get stuck, and that's where we go nowhere.
Totally. I just love what you're doing. So I want to ask you now, for those people that are listening or watching, how can your fans get behind you? How can they get involved and support you?
Yes, absolutely. Look, like I said, we can't do it alone, and definitely having a community of fans to be able to support, just through ways of promoting the book, letting people know where they can go if they have experienced childhood sexual abuse. And liking our Facebook page, Meant to Rise on Facebook, as well as we do post up events and promotions, and we're growing. So ultimately, I really see myself standing back, having the right people be in the positions to be able to have Meant to Rise grow, to be able to meet more people. And support them through their needs, and help them through their healing. That is ultimately what I would like to do. So, or what I would like to see and envision for Meant to Rise. So any of our fans who would like to volunteer, who have skills in grant writing, who have skills in writing up newsletters, who are great knitters. We do up packs for children where we put a teddy bear in, and we put some books that is educational resources, just to empower them and educate them, because that is powerful. When children know how to keep safe, that is our first, that is the biggest thing that you can do for them. Because after it's done, there is so much that has to be reversed, you know, they have to heal from. So I always say, educate them before, you know, to prevent it from happening, not before it happens, but to prevent it from happening, because then we don't have to deal with them being caught up in a situation. And
there's
not
so speaking. Much you can be writing about here and sharing with people and educating around this so much. And, you know, a massive, very massive rabbit hole, which you really are going to have to write some more books, which was going to be my last question for you.
Yes.
Do you have a plan to write more books?
Yes, I do. I do have big plans. So it's getting to sit down and do it. And I feel that inspiration coming up, you know, it's the right time. Again, it's got to be that right time, can't be forced. So I do envision, I think I got to sit down and visualize this, sitting down and writing out the next book, which I think it'll be two or three more. The first one, the next one being around called, it'll be titled Unseen Scars, and Unseen Scars, Healing from Childhood Sexual Abuse. And that will be for survivors on a, you know, step-by-step. Of course, everyone's on their own different journey, but to be able to share what I have learned through my journey of healing, I can only hope that that will empower others.
And can I ask on that, so Unseen Scars, so you might be targeting those people that have been sexually abused, but that would also be good for anyone who's gone through any type of trauma or abuse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because these are all things that that they might have heard before, but weren't ready for it. And this could be that reminder of this could possibly be an option. This could, you know, and just there will be that understanding why it was used, and you know, different options along the way of what else could, because it's not just a one step and then we're done, or it's not just a one way and yep, that's good, I'm fantastic, I'm healed. No, it was a journey of ongoing learning and ongoing change that had happened,
and ongoing healing.
Absolutely, because with each one, there was strengthening, there was releasing, there was growing, and there was confidence. Yep. Absolutely, that awareness of life and making choices that were aligned with where we wanted to go. Or for myself, it was knowing what were the best decisions for my heart and for myself to ultimately reach that peace and joy, you know, to feel happy, to feel peaceful. I had to create that inner, inner and outer, outward. So that was really important. So, and then the next book, the other book will be a resource that anyone who is studying child sexual abuse, trauma can go ahead and pick up and get some information on there based from, you know, the perspective of somebody who has lived experience.
Wonderful. I'm so excited about what's to come for you and for everyone that you come into contact with. I really am a big supporter and a big fan myself of you and your work. So I can't wait to get this out and for people to see it and for people to have the opportunity to participate, because I think the right people will see this
and
will step up. So that's very exciting for all of us.
Yes. And thank you so much, Deb. I really appreciate your love and support throughout the whole journey. You've just been, you know, that wraparound, you've created that space, and I couldn't have done it without that. And as we said, it was that right time, right place, right person who was able to walk me through that. And within that space of writing my book, there was that healing, that continuous healing that occurred. And it was like that last bit that needed to be completed, bit of awareness, I think it was. And that was absolutely amazing to have been able to, and with you having your background of counseling, having you there, to know, to hold that space and to check in was really, really important and such value.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And that's very important to me, because what I've realized is the authors that I do work with, they're all messengers. They all have had experience of some sort, and they're turning what they've gone through and the journey that they've gone on into something that other people can benefit from.
Yes.
Which I have, and you mentioned earlier in the interview about having courage, finding courage. That's such a big part of my messengers. It's a big part of their journey is finding the courage to dig deep and really get vulnerable. And you are just amazing at it. You're just fabulous at it, really. You probably had a bit of practice.
It takes practice. Yes, absolutely. That was all in that growth part as well. So all of it, you know, when I think back to where I was and to where I am today, totally a lot of people just say, I can't, reading the book and then seeing me, they're just like, I just can't see that, you know, but it, yes, yeah. It's all, it just shows it what is possible. And I think
that's it. Thing. You show what's possible by getting vulnerable. And that's why this is important work, you know, in allowing people to share their story in that way and get vulnerable. They literally create the space for other people to do the same. And there's freedom in that.
Absolutely. That's freedom. That's the key word, the identity and vulnerability. That is beautiful, because I think vulnerability as a word is so... it's so, so special, and it really is beautiful. I think of the word vulnerability as beautiful, because within vulnerability, there's that space, there's crying, there's that nurturing, you know, of self and just releasing. And with crying, I always encourage people to cry as much as you can to release all of that, because that is part of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Love your work, Dale. So I'm going to finish up here. Thank you so much for making the time. My pleasure. And we'll be talking very soon.
Yes. Bye, everyone. Thank you.